Father God, Lord, just this day, Lord God, once again, Father, we come before You as Your children. Lord, we come before You as those that are called by the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, to walk with You, to serve You, to become one with Your Spirit, even as You prayed, Lord, that they may all be one, even as You and the Father are one, that we may be one in You, Lord God. And so just this day, as Your children, Father, we come before You seeking, Lord God, to live in that state of oneness with You. Not apart from You, Father, but in all things, Lord God, to be just joined together with You and to be part of what You are doing in this day and this age. Father, we bind every demonic spirit, every work of the enemy, every work of the flesh, all things, Lord God, that would come against, Father, that oneness with You. And Lord, we put them aside, we cast them out, we put them underfoot, Lord God, and we pray for the free flow of Your Spirit in and through this place and in and through me even at this moment. Lord, I decrease and get out of the way. Have Your way in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Well, yes, this morning, testimonies of things that God is doing and also concerns that people have with what's going on. And, you know, there are always going to be problems, there are always going to be issues, there are always going to be things that come up. Always, there's always going to be things that keep coming up. And that is part of your test to see. We've been talking about last week, we talked a little bit about oneness with God and that being our inheritance. It's part of your test to see, do you maintain that place or do you step out of that? Because when the things come up, and they will, do you go to the Father? Do you press in? Do you go within? The kingdom of God is within. Do you go closer and draw close to Him? Or do you separate yourself from Him and say, okay, now I must fix this? See, this is part of our training. This is part of what the Spirit of God does with us as God makes us a disciple, is you learn to, no matter what is going on with you, to press into God. You learn not to worry. You know, people worry in different ways. You know the way some people worry? Is it will keep bringing it up over and over again, say, pray for me on this, pray for me on that. Pray. No, what's really going on is they're worried. Yes, we persist and we push through. But there is a spirit behind things, and sometimes what happens is people are in a place where they're not trusting God, and it comes out in religious activity. And the problem too with that is that unless we persist to keep our inheritance, our oneness with God, unless the world works very hard to separate from us from that. Okay, so remember when we talked about this some last week, our inheritance in Christ Jesus as children of God, as the royal priesthood, our inheritance is to be one with the Spirit of God. So John 17 talks about that's Jesus' prayer for us. And so for us, now we have to choose to live in that place. Despite all the things that come up all the time. Now I've been doing a little bit of interesting reading the last couple of days. How many of you can see this book? The title of the book says 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in
1988.
Obviously, it's an old book. Now I see everybody's smiling and laughing, and why are you all smiling and laughing? Don't you believe? Well, where's your faith, brother? How dare you question the prophet of God? No, you know, actually, while I was in the States, I've got some friends that own a bookstore. And while I was in the States, this had come up, and they had a copy of this book, and they gave it to me. Now, you know what, actually, I have more respect for the guy that wrote this book than I do for most of the Christian authors of this day. Because at least here you can obviously tell he's wrong. Okay, the reason I was reading this book over these last few days was I was curious, because a lot of people do this over and over and over and again. You know, a friend of mine gave me, he said, a good definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and again and to expect a different result. You do the same thing, you keep doing the same thing, and you expect that somewhere that something's going to change. No, if you spend everything you have in your hand, at the end of every month you will always not have any cash. Until you change something about that, that's going to what happens every month. It doesn't take a miracle to solve this problem. It takes some self-discipline and self-control and change. Either you decrease your expenditures or you increase your income, but otherwise you're in the same spot every month. Okay, likewise, when I see people going through the same cycle over and over again in Christian circles, and I'm like, how does this keep happening? And sometimes, why do I keep getting the same emails from people about certain things going on in the world when we should know better by now? Okay, so when I was going through this book, I was looking for something specific. I wanted to see, how is it that people keep getting drawn into these kind of things? Because people were drawn into this. Now, one thing I want to say, this man's research, some of it was very good. Lots of numbers, lots of, you know, figuring out of dates and times and places and things that happened through history. But in that process, somewhere along the way, you can see it, where he gets off track and into his own thinking. And there comes a point where every time he turns around, he's seeing something that confirms this must be it. And then he starts looking for everything that confirms that way of thinking for him. Now let me tell you something about the scriptures that I've seen. You can't come to the scriptures of God with a preconceived notion of what you want to find there. You can't come to the scriptures with a decision of, I want to find something to reinforce this viewpoint. Because if you do, you know what's going to happen? You will find something that reinforces that viewpoint. And you will be off course and off track with what God is doing. You can find something, if you want to have multiple wives, you can find that in here. If you want to kill people, you can find it in here. If you want to enslave people from India, you can find it in here. You can find whatever you want. You can find it in here. You'll find justification for your actions. And that's why Matthew 7 should be a very strong rebuke for most people, because many will come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I do not know you. Okay, do not know you. I am not, you and I are not one. We're not consummated. There is a separation between us. And when there's a separation between people, you can't hide that in the realm of spirit. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Verse 2-5. Namu
Okay. Now we've heard this one before, right? But I want to bring this now into the context of you being made one with the Father. What's something that we said last week? You will become one with something. So if you are not being made one with the Father, you are being made one with something else. And you know the world will give you many, many options of what you can be one with. But it preys on that secret desire of your heart, that close place in you, within you, that says, this is what I desire most of all. So the world will give you power, position, pleasure, pursuit. They'll give you religion. You know, you can become one with religion. You can look very good, you can do all the right things, all of that, but you're not one with the Spirit of God. You know, one of the reasons why they had such a hard time with Jesus is because he broke their religious traditions. You know the time, you remember the time when he healed the guy that was sleeping, that was laying by the well, and he told you by the pool, and he told him, pick up your mat and walk and go? There's a guy I know that did a ton of research on this, and he said, you know, the only reason why Jesus would have told him that, there's only one reason he could find. There's only one reason he could find. And that was for him to be able to mess with the Pharisees. Because there was no reason for him to tell him to take this thing up. But because of their man-made tradition that they had, you couldn't carry something on the Sabbath like that. So Jesus, they had made this rule. This wasn't God's rule, this was their rule. And so what Jesus did was he did an irrefutable miracle on a man that had been laying by this pool for over 3 decades. He'd just been staying there for ages, and this guy had just been out there in the sweltering sun, and God heals him. He does something that at the end of this whole thing, people have to say, that is the hand of God. And then he doesn't miss the chance to then use that to play with and to show and to expose the man-made traditions that they don't mean anything in this situation. You remember the story, and then how they were like, well, who told you could pick up your mat? Who told you could walk? Yeah, who do you think you are? Now the key for that man was, hey, I've been crippled and lame and laying at this pool for decades, and now all of a sudden I'm healed. I won't just pick up my mat, I will dance on a table, I'll do whatever this Jesus says, because I know the difference between life and all else that I've known before. See, when somebody has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, when somebody has experienced that life of Christ, for them, after that, it's like whatever Jesus says goes. You don't, the rest doesn't matter. You know, I was also this last week, I finished 1 Samuel. I've been doing some reading about Saul. Saul and David. And you know, I mean, David was very rough around the edges. You know, he was an amazing guy, but you can just see this guy was just—he just lived life. And you know, I saw something with Saul. I feel bad for Saul, but you know, he made a choice and he had the consequences of those choices. But there was a crucial point in Saul's walk as a king where Saul violated the expressed will of God, and he stepped into a place he should not have gone. And while God would have been faithful to his covenant to the generations of Saul to this day, had he stayed on that track, Saul chose not to. Saul chose not to. Saul looked at the external circumstances and got afraid. Basically, Saul allowed himself to go away from being one with the instructions, with the Spirit of God. He stepped over here, separated himself, and then did something apart from God. And the result was, Samuel says to Saul, when he comes to give the sacrifice and he realizes that Saul has done certain things, he didn't kill the king that he was supposed to kill, he didn't finish totally destroying all of that stuff that was there, that they were supposed to go in and wipe it all out. So and then he had gotten, so when this all happened, there's consequences. But you know what was interesting for me is to see Saul's own reaction as time went on. And a couple of things that sort of start happening with Saul is, one, he becomes very religious. Very religious. You know, in one sense, he says, okay, nobody's going to eat anything until this battle is over. And so all his guys are getting tired and wore out. But he's made this covenant before God. There was no reason for it. Why is he doing this? And all the time he's like, if somebody's done this, by as God lives, I'm going to kill them. You know, he's always wants to kill somebody. You know, also some other, and also too, you see him attacking those that he sees the Spirit of God on. So he keeps trying to kill David. Every time he's throwing spears at him, he's tracking him down, he's going after David. What had David done? What had David done wrong to Saul throughout? You know, as long as Saul was alive, David had only done good to Saul for his entire existence. David had two distinct opportunities when he knew that Saul was trying to kill him, two distinct opportunities where he could have taken Saul's life. One was when Saul went into the cave to go to the bathroom and David was in there. And his men were saying, David, go kill him, he's right there. And another one was when Saul was coming after him, God actually caused Saul and all his men to fall into a deep sleep, where David and his friend, they walked right in there. He's right there. Saul's own spear is right there. Very easy. One, two, finished. In fact, David's friend even said, look, you don't even have to do it. Just tell me, I will do it. I will make it quick. It'll be over. This whole thing will be done. But throughout Saul's life, David only did good unto Saul. Always a faithful servant. And even then, every time Saul came to a realization, but he kept forgetting because he kept having a problem with what God was doing with David and what he saw, he had the consequences of his own actions. Now, David was not perfect by any means. But the difference between David and Saul is that when David realized the errors of his ways, his heart was for God. And the difference between David and Saul is that David always wanted to be one with the Spirit of God. He never wanted to be away from Him. And when he realized that he had drifted from it, when he realized that he had stepped away from it, his heart was broken inside of him and he was like, Lord, please, you know, restore me. Bring me back to you. You see that in the Psalms. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. He loves God. Whereas Saul, when he was separated from, when he had made stupid choices, rather than rending his heart, he rent his garments. He got into all kinds of religious stuff, but he missed it. And so, it's a place of choice. The individual makes a choice. Now, here's the thing. Because it's a decision that happens on a personal level, you can't do this for anyone else. You cannot choose truth for someone else. You cannot choose life for someone else. You cannot choose oneness with the Spirit of God for anyone else. What you can do is you can choose it for the life that you live. You can choose to be in that place. And you can choose to live that out every day of your existence in this world. You can let your light shine so that the world may see God working in and through you. Now, in that process, realize that there's going to be a lot of other things going on. Realize back to 2 Timothy that a time has come. We're right now in the middle of this for sure. Where people are not enduring sound doctrine. Verse 3, but after their own lusts have heaped up to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, an itching ear. You know when you have an itch? When you have an itch, what do you want to do with that itch? You want to scratch it. You have okay, I've got an itch. I got to scratch it. You want something to scratch that place. So, Puresh laughs because I'm sure you see this all the time. Puresh sees lots of that. Okay. You want someone to scratch that itch. And so what happens is people have... Okay, here's simply, I'll put a simple way of how this works. People haven't given themselves over completely to the Spirit of God. They have not 100% sold out their life to what God is doing. So because of that, they've withheld some place. They've withheld some place in their spirit, in their soul. And because of that, now they've stopped the process of God in their life. See, God needs 100% of you, nothing less. Anything less and you're not one in Him. You're 20%, you're 15%, you're 85%. Do you remember when we had that water thing over here? That... How many of you would like water that's 95% pure but 5% garbage? You want to drink that? Yo, come on, 2% kunu, it's okay. 1%, it's okay. No, why? Yeah, because why? Because it pollutes the rest of what's in there. Like that, with your life has to be 100% given over to the Spirit of God. You cannot withhold any place in you. But because people withhold places in their own souls, they now must find something outside themselves to tell them you're okay to withhold that place. So let me give you a few. When people get hurt, when they get abused, when they get certain things happen to them in this life, they hold that. Instead of giving that over to the Spirit of God, they hold that. And rather than allowing the Spirit of God to heal them, what they do is they hold that inside, and then that thing now makes them bitter, makes them angry, it works on them. That happens. But you know what the Spirit of God says? Is He says, look, all you have to do in that place, turn it over to Me. This is something between you and Him. No one can do this for you. You turn it over to Him, He heals that. But what people choose to do is they say, no, this is mine. I'm going to hold on to this. Okay, you can do it. That's your choice. But there's consequences for that. Consequences, you will be bitter. Consequences, you will be angry. Consequences, that you will be separate from the Spirit of God. You're going to be somewhere over here. And you're going to probably be very religious. Does this sound like some ladies that you maybe meet once a week? Some ladies that you might meet once a week? They're kind of angry and they want to control you and come to the meeting and all that. You know, where's the joy of the Lord in their hearts and in their spirits? Those are the people that usually want to tell you you're doing something wrong. You need to fix something. You need to change something. Look, you're just fine the way God made you. If you need to change anything, the Spirit of God will show you if you love Him and you're seeking Him. He will show you directly. You're connected to the head. But back to this itch you have to scratch, right? I'll give you a few more. Here, another one. People, they want to become something in the world. So, I want to be a rock star. I want to be somebody important, yes? And now, I haven't quite become a rock star yet, so maybe I'll do it here, or small stage, something, but I need to be important in this world. Or, you know, you want power, you want position, you want people to call you boss. You want somebody to lord over. Whatever that may be. And when people surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear, they will find somebody that tells them that. You know, some people want to be scared. They want somebody to scare them. I'm serious. They want people to make them afraid. You know all those horror movies that they make? All those horror movies, there's a whole industry that is just built for people that want somebody to scare them. And if you ever watch one of those movies, they set you up the whole way through. The music is going, the lights are going. And you know it. The girl is walking down the hallway and you can hear the sound and the music and everything scary. And she goes into the dark room and she turns to this one corner. And then the door closes behind her, swings closed, and there's the bad guy. But what? Because everybody's watching it, they're like, ah, in the movie theater, ah, they're all screaming. Okay, people do that, not just the movie theaters, they keep doing it all the time. I'm holding up the book. Yes, they keep doing 88 reasons why you can be scared in 1988. What does scripture say? Perfect love drives out all fear. You know, if somebody sends me something, they say, this is a word from God. Alright, the first thing I ask is, what is the spirit that's coming off of this thing? I don't even need to read it. There's a spirit that's coming off of things. Are you trying to scare me? Are you trying to control? What are you trying to do here? What is this about? What's the motivation? Do you want me to come to your meeting? Is that what it is? What are you trying to do here? Tell me. Just say it. Because for me, I don't have an itch that needs to be scratched. No, for the people of God, for the people that seek truth, when you seek truth, what happens is the Spirit of God fills your soul. If you are 100% open to the work of the Spirit of God, what happens is light floods your whole being. And then it gets much easier to tell where something else is coming from, because does it match what God is doing with you or not? So for me, it gets much easier, because then when something comes my way, I'm like, oh, okay, this is not matching the voice of the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say in John 10? My sheep know my voice. They won't follow another. Now the irony is that the stuff going around today is much even more, how can I say this right? It's not as good even as this 88 reasons why the rapture is in 1988. It's not. It's not as good a material. It's okay. This book, though it's wrong, this man did a lot of research, a lot of study, a lot of facts went into it, a lot of time. But nowadays, somebody will go have a bad dinner, go to sleep, have a crazy dream, wake up and say, God gave me this thing, and send it to everybody, and all these people will be running around with like chickens with their heads cut off.
Then මට හීනයක් දැක්කා. ඒ හීනය දැක්කම පවුවදාට මොකක් හරි ලියලා හැමෝටම යවුවා. අනිත් හැමෝතේ ඔක්කොම කියවලා බය වෙනවා.
Spicy biryani the night before, vision from God that night.
මොකක් හරි biryani එකක් දැවිලා biryani එකක් කාලා ඊළඟ දේ රෑ හම්බෙනවලු මොකක් හරි දෙවියන් වහන්සේගෙන් එළිදරව්.
And no follow up. No discussion. Nobody held to account. None.
කිසිම කවුරුත් ඒක හරිද වැරදිද කියලා හොයන්න කෙනෙක් නැහැ. ඒක පිටිපස්සේ මේක හරිද කියලා කාටවත් වග කියන්නවත් කෙනෙක් නැහැ. මුකුත් නැහැ.
You know, in the Old Testament times, if somebody said they had got a word from God and they were wrong, they took you out back and they killed you. They killed you. There was no room for playing with the name of God. But nowadays, anything goes. Nowadays, people will stand up, they will say whatever, they will be wrong, and then next week they're doing the same thing again. You know, all these end time guys, why is it that it's always next year or 2 years from now, everything's going to fall apart, right? It's just far enough in the future for you to be afraid and for you to be churned up and for you to be concerned, for you basically to separate yourself from the Spirit of God and now get caught up with how do you save your life in this world.
ඉතින් ඊට පස්සේ හරි ඒ කාලය තුල ඔබ දෙවතුන් ඔබ බය ගන්නවලා ඊට පස්සේ ඔබ දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ ආත්මයේ එකත්වෙන් ඈත් වෙනවා ඔබගේ ජීවිතයේ මේ ලෝකේ ආරක්ෂා කරගන්න විදිහ ඔබ හොයනවා.
My hope is that those that are really seeking truth, that they get quick to this and they not waste time with those things.
ඔබේ එකම බලාපොරොත්තුව තමයි මේ වගේ දේවල් වලට කාලේ නැස්ති නොකර ඉක්මනට මේ වගේ දේවල් කාවම හඳුනා ගන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙයි කියලා.
Because though there's a lot of people that are looking for someone to scratch an itch, don't waste your time with them. If you hang out with those people, you too will get their head lice. Is that right, Punish? When people, the lice jumps from one head to the other. You know, scriptures talk about that too. Bad company corrupts good character. Walk with the wise and you will be wise yourself. Basically, the place that you spend your time, the people that you fellowship with, all of that will rub off on who you are. See, that's one reason why you spend time in prayer. The Spirit of God rubs off on you. And that's also the reason why if you spend your time with people that are fear-based, that are, you know, have certain things where their priorities are not God, they will affect you. Now, I'm not saying that you are supposed to go into a holy huddle, as they call it, and hide yourself. No, but what I am, because God says we are to be in the world but not of the world. But what I am saying is that you are to spend your life and your heart in 100% pursuit of the Spirit of God and truth and being one with Him. And then the places that you go, the people that you interact with, the things that you do, let them all be what He leads you to do as an expression of your walk with Him.
You think,
And realize that He is the one that does the work, and that success is just following and obeying Him. It does not depend on the result. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it's not about the result, it's about did you follow God? The results are in His hands. Ours is to trust and to obey, and to not withhold any part of who you are within. Let your entire life be open to the work of the Spirit of God. And God will do the work. And as He leads and directs and guides us, we just follow what the Spirit of God says and we do what He tells us to do. And in that we have victory, and in that we live the overcoming life. Okay, so my time is up, so I have to stop there for today.